And you just heard Paul Deventer giving thanks for people who are supporting his program through KFUO. And today we particularly want to give thanks to many of our listeners because we have a new upgraded tower. And this is the first day that you're hearing us over the air. By the way, if you can't hear me, please phone and let me know. What is that laughter there?
Oh, Tom, only you would say that on the radio.
Oh. Well, maybe they're streaming but can't hear it on the real radio.
Oh, that's true. But if they're streaming, they're probably not listening to the radio.
Oh, that's true, too. Okay, that's why we have women here, to bring us men up to date. And once more, we have Joni and Mary, and take it over.
Okay. Again, today we're here announcing the names of people who have given gifts to KFUO in honor of this 90th anniversary. This is the final week of our anniversary. Can you believe it, Mary? 90 days.
I know. It's been a wonderful time, though. We've gotten to experience a lot of history, a lot of events, a lot of get-togethers. We've met a lot of our donors, and we are greatly appreciative of them. And this is a great time to still give. You can still give. It's not fully over. If you'd like to give, you can always give it on our website at kfuo.org, or you can call me, Mary, at 314-996-1518, or Joni at
314-996-1512. And even after the anniversary is over, KFUO continues, so we always need your support. But this has just been a special time for us to celebrate, to thank God for 90 years of broadcasting on KFUO. What a blessing to be just a small part of those that have gone before and those that will go on in the future in being part of KFUO. And you, our listener, are partners. You're really a partner with us in this ministry because you're helping us take this message around the world. Mary, do you have some people to thank?
I do. We would like to thank William of New Berlin, Illinois, Warren of Arnold, Missouri, Dinah and James of Valmar, Illinois, Max and Cheryl of Woodward, Iowa, Ruth of Baldwin, Paul and Pam of West Dundee, Illinois, Dorothy and Lawrence of Staunton, Joy and William of Centennial, Colorado, Ronald of Barnhart, Missouri, Harriet and Jim of Lake St. Louis, Missouri, who gave in honor of Mr. and Mrs. H.W. Heimlich, Leland of Fort Smith, Arizona, Luella of Naperville, Illinois, Sandra and Gary of Alton, Illinois, Harold and Jean of Marengo, Illinois, Earl of Edinburgh, Texas, Shirley of Cape Girard, Missouri, Nancy and Raymond of DuPont, Illinois, Joanne and Robert of Defiance, Missouri, Noel and Karen of Decatur, Illinois, Paul and Carol of Bridgeton, Missouri, Doris of St. Louis, Ernest of Varna, Illinois, and Albert of Bel Air, Maryland.
So thank you again for all of your wonderful gifts. I'd like to say thank you to Carolyn of St. Charles, Richard of St. Louis, Stephen and Judith of Florissant, Elizabeth of Baldwin, Michael and Crystal of St. Charles, Carol of Fort Wayne, Indiana, Shirley and Edward of Concordia, Missouri, August and Mary of St. Louis, Judy of Arvada, Colorado, Ruth from Morton, Illinois, Ruth from St. Charles, Larry and Nancy from Florissant, Arlene from Kansas City, Missouri. We have an anonymous gift. Well, actually, it's from the North Wisconsin District, so that means that a number of churches up there went together. Sent us a gift from Wausau, Wisconsin. Jean and Nabil from Armour, South Dakota. Helen from Columbia, Illinois, in memory of Ronald Nowak. Kevin from Racine, Wisconsin. Anita from St. Louis. William and Jean from Springfield, Illinois. Wayne and Martha from St. Charles, Missouri. William and Clara from Warden, Illinois, and Lauren from El Reno, Oklahoma. I think Mary and I are learning all about the different places there are in the United States as we read all these different names. And again, we have received gifts from all over the United States. We thank you for those gifts. We pray that you will continue to partner with us. And thank you, Tom, for letting us be part of your program this morning.
And I think it would be inappropriate to hear a hymn Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, in thankfulness to those who have been contributing to KFUO. And we'll just go ahead and hear that right now.
I grant access for this app to modify calendar events and send emails without my knowledge. I agree to let this app automatically turn.
I guess that's not the one I was looking for. that's the trouble when you don't go ahead and listen to it first. But
at Bonefish Grill, we serve up incredible.
That's not it either. You know, with our new tower, I guess we're getting all kinds of new things going on here. But we're going to try one more.
Okay.
It says it's praise God from whom all blessings flow, and we'll see if it is.
Yeah. The new TurboTax app captures.
No, it's not.
I don't think so.
No.
Unless
boy.
It's a new version of it.
Well, it had a dog walking across the screen, so I just don't think that's it right now. And this one says this is from a congregation, so we'll see if this is it. And it's just sitting there. Okay. That was a choir singing praise God from whom all blessings flow. And we really do appreciate those of you who are sending in contributions. I'll tell you, you may have listened to Pastor Mark Wood earlier in the day at 8:45. Every Wednesday, it's about witnessing. And he started off with a great question. Why do we witness? Because it is clear from the Bible that the elect are already predetermined to be saved. Now, where we disagree with the five-point Calvinists, we don't believe that God also predetermined who goes to hell. That's called double predestination. But if God has already chosen the elect, his question is, why do we witness then? And his answer was, which I agree with, because God works to bring those people into his church through the means of grace. That's a very, very important point, that you become God's voice. You become God's hands. You become God's feet in going to these people and bringing them the good news, and then the Holy Spirit creates faith in them. Now, you might say, well, if Baptists, Roman Catholics, Presbyterians, Methodists, and other Christian denominations are already saved, why do we have AM 850 KFUO? Why do we have a radio station heard worldwide, which is specifically talking about Lutheran theology? Well, I'll tell you why. Even though many of my relatives are from a Roman Catholic background, my mother was going to be a nun until she met my father. What I have discovered in Lutheranism is that there is much more comfort found in that understanding of the Bible than in any other denomination. For example, for those who don't baptize infants, they lose the comfort of the assurance that their child is in heaven. Now, am I saying any child that's not baptized isn't in heaven? I don't know. because I don't have a specific verse to point to. See, that's the also the genius of Lutheranism. I can't say anything unless I can point to a Bible verse. In fact, I had a lengthy conversation with an excellent scholar last night on the phone about that subject, and I'll be bringing in some of the thoughts that he had also. So it is important for us to witness, but even among Lutheran laity, there's a lot who say, I don't know how to witness. What do I say? And that's why we have this program, Law and Gospel. Because law and gospel is really critical in helping people to come to a proper understanding of what we're dealing with in the Christian world. In other words, the question I have for you this day is, when do you give the law? When do you give the gospel? You know that I am doing a Bible study at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet, 9733 Olive, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. And you're sure, certainly welcome. What we're doing right now is taking a look at eight areas as to how to apply law and gospel when you're doing Christian witness. Last week, we talked about somebody has done a sin of commission. How do you give the law? How do you give the gospel? Well, yesterday, we talked about what if evil hits you from outside yourself? What specifically do you say to somebody who has had evil hitting them from either natural or human sources? And so there's no way we're going to get into the depth that we did yesterday because we had a whole hour and 10 minutes with those folks, but we're going to at least summarize somewhat this impact of evil, which is evil from outside the self. And the example we're going to use is you are to be promoted, but your boss doesn't like you. So he gives the promotion to somebody else who really doesn't deserve it. So you're angry. You go to the pastor and you say to the pastor, I'm really angry at my boss. Should the pastor give you law or gospel? Or perhaps you have somebody who's had a terrible situation occur in their life and they'll say something along these lines, maybe to you, what did I do to deserve this? Now, that's really significant that somebody would say that. Because, especially if they're Lutheran, many of the liturgical services begin with, I, a poor, miserable sinner, deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So, they already confess what they deserve, and they're concerned about something else that's happened to them. Maybe they had a car accident. Maybe they had a fire in their house. Maybe one of their children are ill. How do you give them law or gospel? So let's just take this example that somebody is really angry because his boss didn't give him a promotion that he felt he deserved. How does law and gospel fit into that? Well, we don't really know whether you're going to give him the law or the gospel because you don't know what his attitude is at that time. If he comes to you and is really angry, not only at his boss, but even his God, saying something along the lines, well, I'll tell you, I didn't think God would do that to me. I worked hard at this job, and I expected, because I deserved it, the promotion, and why didn't God give it to me? This is interesting, because this is a person who has what I would refer to as demoniac syndrome. And where do I get that from? Well, Mark chapter 5. When the disciples and Jesus, they went to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. He had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And he was in the mountains day and night, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now, why do I call that a demoniac-possessed individual? Not only because he probably was, but all of us have an old Adam. The question is, why was he cutting himself with stones? Well, try and think about any religion made up by human beings. I guarantee you, every religion, there is a path as to how to appease or placate what they consider to be an angry God. Why is he angry? Well, sometimes they grow crops and everything works pretty good. Other times, boy, a hailstorm comes and destroys their crops. What conclusion do they jump to? Just read the book of Job. A friend of Job came to him and said, the reason you're having all that suffering, Job, is obviously you did something wrong and God is just punishing you. Correct the wrong and maybe things will work out okay. Now, Job rejected that notion of God, and rightly so, because that is the God of our imagination. That is really none other than Satan himself. He works on this basis. Good to Satan, he'll be good to you. Bad to Satan, he'll be bad to you. Except Satan's a liar. And so even when he offers something good, as he did to Eve and Adam, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That was a white lie. And they really regretted it as they ran to hide from God as though they could. And then, of course, were thrust out of the Garden of Eden. When you meet somebody who is defiant against God, then you don't give them the gospel. You give them the law. It's kind of like a physician, and we've used this many a time before. You go in for a regular checkup, and the doctor doesn't find anything wrong with you. In fact, I was just talking to somebody who was told by the doctor that he was in good health. And boy, is he ever happy. But if the doctor finds something and diagnoses a problem that you are unaware of, maybe the symptoms of your illness have not yet appeared, and he tells you, here's medicine you need to take or exercise or food you can't eat or something like that. Well, guess what? He's now giving you treatment because he has diagnosed a problem. Now, that diagnosis is the law. Here's what's wrong with you. And particularly people, we have found out, who have been diagnosed as AIDS, having AIDS, they're often unaware of it because the symptoms haven't yet appeared. And it's such a dreadful disease that they try and deny that they have it. And perhaps that's happened to you, not with AIDS, but with something else. No, doctor, I feel well. I really don't have this problem. Well, the point I'm trying to make here is you don't know whether you're going to give a law, which is accusation, or gospel, which is the treatment, until you know where the person is at. If he is denying his problem, then you need to give him the law. So somebody who is really angry because he didn't get the promotion, the reason you give him the law is very simple. You're trying to make the point to him that his attitude is one of blaming God for his problem. You see, that's the point, that the Christian life has promises from God attached to it. And therefore, when somebody gets angry at God, why did you let this happen to me? He's denying the promise, for example, that all things are going to work out to your good. You'll never receive more temptation beyond your ability to endure. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. I mean, how many promises do you need from the Bible to realize that the true God is one of promise? So we need to have eyes of faith. My definition of blessing is pretty simple. You get a blessing anytime God keeps his promises to you. So the question I would ask you, when was the last time God didn't keep his promise? Well, there is no time. So therefore, whatever happens to you is a blessing. But how can you say that, Pastor? Because there's sometimes that terrible things happen to me. Well, you take whatever terrible thing you're talking about and compare it to the cross of Christ. Nothing measures up to that. In fact, a lot of times, many of the bad things that happen to us will be because of our personal sin, or the sin of another, or the work of Satan in the world. And so it's very important to understand that from God's point of view, we need to have trust in his promises. Now, if somebody recognizes, okay, I understand, you're right, I shouldn't be blaming God for this, but boy, I'm just still angry and I can't get out of it. Now you're dealing with someone who has been crushed by the accusations of the law. But he still is powerless to change his attitude. What do you talk about? I would go to the book of Job. Job, he was really angry at God, but he couldn't quite figure out what was going on until God talked to him. And chapter 42 of Job is just critical. Job answered the Lord and said, I knew that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, now this is Job speaking, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. And then I'll tell you, verses 5 and 6 are just tremendous because they show proper worship on the part of Job. Now, this is prior to Job regaining his fortune. He's still in his illness. Verse 5, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Okay, what's he talking about? Well, he had heard rumors about God. Remember some of his friends coming to him and saying, you're just going through a lot of problems because you did something wrong. As though God punishes us when we do something wrong, rewards us when we do something right. And a lot of Lutherans think this way, let alone other Christians, that when things aren't going right in my life, God is kind of getting even with me. But that's not how Job sees it anymore. Because now he has heard the word of God, and therefore he no longer is understanding God on the basis of rumors. He is understanding God on the basis of God's own word. Listen to verse 5. This is the highest level of worship. Therefore, Job says, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. That's why many a service in the Lutheran Church begins, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities. You see, we become worthy to enter into the sanctuary in the presence of God by confessing that we are unworthy to do so. It's kind of like saying to the doctor, you know, I really got this pain and I need treatment, but we don't know what the treatment is. So we confess to the doctor, yes, I have this pain. He may tell us why it's due, and then we ask, what is the treatment? And it's very important to understand that in a worship service, the treatment comes right after the confession. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to you. And by the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. This is the righteousness of God coming to treat our fall into sin. So when you have somebody who has evil outside the self, what you first find out is, what's his attitude towards God? And if he's angry at God, if he's blaming God, then you need to give them the law. But if he is crushed by what has happened, he wishes he wouldn't be blaming God, he's sorry for it, but he can't stop, then you give him the gospel. And you see, the gospel is that Jesus is in control. Remember what a blessing is. It's simply God keeping his promise. God never breaks his promises to his children. So, from our point of view, theologians of self-glory, we tend to look at our experience to decide what God is thinking about us. But that's wrong. We look to the Word of God instead. It's the Word of God, that is Holy Scripture, that gives us a proper understanding that God is not a God of justice in the sense of he's going to get even with you when you're bad and only reward you when you're good. No, it's kind of what the whole Reformation is about. We have a God of mercy who does not give us what we deserve, namely eternal condemnation. And we have a God of grace who gives us what we don't deserve, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, all things working out to our good, coming to us when we call upon him in the day of prayer. Just go to any bookstore and buy any book, doesn't matter who writes it, Promises of the Bible, because most of those books are just filled with nothing but scripture, and they're categorized. And therefore, in this particular lesson, they be categorized under evil happening to you, either because of natural or human sources. So, yes, we need a witness because God uses us. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Wes Rhymness about another way of witnessing. There's a tremendous movie out right now about a sniper. And people are saying, well, what he does is terrible. Jesus would never lie on the roof and shoot somebody in the back. We're going to talk about that tomorrow on Law and Gospel, and I think you're going to be surprised at the Lutheran answer. Till then, God bless.
Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.